This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They're not only coming for your souls, they are coming to mess you up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Week four, your visit back to Philadelphia. What do you think is gonna, your reception is going to be, Doug Peterson?
I'd hope I get booed. You know, I mean, that'd make me feel welcome.
Today's guests, three-time Pro Bowl cornerback Joe Hayden. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Yes Network Yankees broadcaster, Michael Kay. And now...
Slide over, babe. You've got some company.
It's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. It is the Rich Eisen Show live from Los Angeles, California, here on a very busy Thursday in our sports neighborhood on the Roku channel, channel 210. For those watching on the Roku channel, we say... hello to you. Do not adjust your sets. I do have this great blue sweater on for those on the radio. Do not adjust your sets. It does look as good as it does in person as it does on channel 210 on the Roku channel. For those listening on Odyssey and the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, make room for Sirius XM next week. On tomorrow's program, we will give you our new signal and stations for that. That'll be I know I've been threatening that for a while. That's coming. And we're thrilled to be right here for you between 12 and 3 Eastern. Again, on the Roku channel for those listening. You can watch us every single day on a Roku device, on any connected Roku device, on a Samsung Smart TV, a Fire TV, on the Roku app, which has the Roku channel on it, therokuchannel.com. For those who want to stream us every single day on desktop, we thank you for that. And then we also say, in a way, if you don't mind, you're welcome because it's free. You don't have to spend a single dime on watching us, which is what one of the many things that we love about being partners with the Roku channel. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you, sir?
I don't know, Rich. I'm just...
we'll get to that in a second. DJ Mikey D, Mike Del Tufo, the audio executive. Good to see you, sir. TJ Jefferson, light the candle, why don't you? Light it up. Light it up.
It's lit, and everybody loves the acclaimed, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Very good. Good to see everyone right there. Joe Hayden, unfortunately, is not going to be on today's show. Got that phone call about 10 minutes ago. But the recent retiree, if we can get him in studio tomorrow, I think he's up for that. We'll... try and clear some space.
Cool.
On tomorrow's show, Daniel Jones will be on tomorrow's program. Who's on today? Albert Breer will help get us all set for week three in the NFL neighborhood. Tonight, the Steelers and the Browns will be participating for our viewing pleasure on Amazon Prime Video, which, by the way, can be seen on your Roku-connected device. By the way, also on the show, Michael Kay of the Yes Network. We booked him prior to leaving here yesterday, thinking maybe Judge hits one, if not two, home runs last night against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and maybe he'll Michael Kay will have called a generationally remarkable moment, an historic moment. Instead, it was Gleyber Torres hit two home runs in the same inning in an eight-run eighth for the Yankees last night, and Judge is still sitting on 60, which is not a bad spot to sit on. And the Red Sox and the Yankees are starting a four-game set this evening. I guess if he's going to pass the Babe, what better franchise than to attempt to do it against than the Boston Red Sox?
He just wants to get a good look at his new teammates.
Got it.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Very good. So Michael Kay's on in hour number three, Chris, of this program. Also on this show, I've got not one, not two, but five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Five things, another top five list. Ooh, five things I know about the NFL.
Yes.
Top five things I know about the NFL going into week number three. That's coming up on this program.
Love it.
We start this program with the breaking news out of Boston, Massachusetts. The defending Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics have potentially... a new coach coming for just 1 year, maybe for good. It's a shocker in many different ways. First things first. Normally, when Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN tweets something out, tweets out some news, it's called a Woj bomb. Normally, when the Woj bomb goes off, you don't need for the smoke to clear to kind of understand what he's tweeting about. Normally, it's very obvious. The Woj bomb goes off. Somebody's been traded. Somebody's been signed. Somebody's been... re-signed, somebody's gotten fired. Yeah, suspended, it just normally, again, the bomb goes off and you know what it's about. You don't have to wait till the smoke clears. Put up on the screen. This is the first item up for bids in this conversation about Ime Udoka, the coach of the Boston Celtics. This happened around 10:30 Boston time last night. ESPN sources tweeted out, Woj, Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka is facing possible disciplinary action, including a significant suspension for an unspecified violation of organizational guidelines. Discussions are ongoing within the Celtics on a final determination. The hell did that mean?
Word salad.
And the only thing is like, okay, something's up involving their coach, and rightfully so. A lot of the conversation was, well, what do you... If we don't know what it is, and we don't know if it's a definite suspension coming, and we don't know that there's something concrete occurring at the coaching position for the defending Eastern Conference champs in the town where Mo Green does not have a plaque or a signpost or any indication that he founded the town of Las Vegas, Nevada, the betting favorites? Is that what you're saying, Chris?
They've been the betting favorite since the Malcolm Brogdon trade.
To win it all,
to win the whole thing,
and so why? Then why are we talking about it? You know, what's up with that? Because if there is something up about Udoka, well, come out and say it. Otherwise, there's nothing to say.
Right.
And so we now have more information from this very morning. Woj saying that a likely suspension for the entire 2022-2023 season is occurring for a consensual relationship with a female staff member. A formal announcement is expected as soon as today. Joe Mazzulla, everybody, who's the assistant on a staff of the Celtics, likely to become the interim coach for the season. Okay, it's a consensual relationship with a female staff member, then... Isn't that a private matter? That I guess that goes against what the it's an organizational.
It'd be an organizational suspension, not a league suspension.
I don't know. So something like, must be up.
What?
More than this, in order for a year long suspension to hit. I don't know what the hell is going on in Boston. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated tweeted out about 15 minutes ago that Udoka is considering just resigning, flat out leaving the organization.
Jeez.
And I have no earthly idea what is going on, personal matter or not. Obviously, if it's somebody on the team in the organization that's considered a subordinate and you're having a relationship with them and it's consensual and obviously it's outside of the coach's marital relationship with a very famous actress, I might add, that is splashy, one would think, but one would think, again, if it's with a subordinate, now you're talking about, and it's not consensual, now you're talking about a whole different ball of wax.
I don't think not consensual was ever mentioned.
But everyone has gone out of their way to point out that it is consensual.
I know that.
Yeah, so it's even Sham's tweet last night that kind of got this whole ball moving, that put a little more, you know, depth behind Woj's mysterious.
It's very weird,
it's,
man.
It's very strange. Really, I don't know what to make of it.
Why let it out and say you're going to suspend him?
Like, I don't know if you're going to let it out and say you're going to suspend him and don't, like, what are you giving everybody a little heads up?
Apparently,
That's why I'm focusing on the human resources aspect of things.
Well, that's why we should turn to Brockman for
that's
that.
That's why I'm saying, you know, looking at the tweets and saying it's an organizational. What did Woj call it in his original tweet? He broke an organizational structure or the rule or what? Unspecified violation of organizational guidelines.
Yeah. This morning, Stephen A. was saying, Rich, that he, obviously we all know this. There's more to this story. He knows what it is and he just is going to wait for it to play out.
And his point, too, is that there's a whole bunch of other people out there in the sports world who are messing around outside of their relationship and, you know, their marital vows. Mm. And that's not news for anybody. And unless they do fire him, then clearly that's news. Or they suspend him for the year, that's news. But
as soon as you see consensual, it's like
they leaked it out, man.
Yeah.
At 10:30 at night.
I don't know what's up with that.
So Chris had a good point to me this morning. He said, because of the timing, this seems like maybe an employee who has an axe to grind, something.
I don't
something's
know.
Very weird.
Here's
that
the thing. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable because we don't know. And we're sitting here speculating. Even me sitting here saying, well, what if it wasn't consensual? Because
the power dynamic in the building I don't know.
And clearly there's no
but a whole season
factual basis that's there for us to form an opinion on it, other than the fact that it's shocking and that in the basketball sense of things.
Yep.
Well, you know, why wouldn't Brad Stevens come out of the front office and just say, I'll take it over for a year?
Well, Brad's going to have to answer some questions about kind of the depth of what's going on.
Well, let's just place this aside until we know exactly what the hell's going on.
I went to a dark place this morning talking to one of my friends back home who's in the Boston media, just like, you know, this happened with the Red Sox. Cora had to miss a whole year for a different situation, obviously. But the Celtics,
that was a competitive violation.
Exactly. But in terms of just missing a whole season, you know, off of a World Series championship, the Celtics are coming off a title, you know, an almost title run. And the Red Sox haven't gotten back to that point since. They've been kind of a dysfunctional mess. And I'm worried about now this happening to Boston. Suddenly Tatum leaves, Brown leaves. And now, you know, the team just gets blown up when they were so close to a championship not long ago.
I don't know what else to say. Yeah. Other than the fact that until we find out one thing or another, the only thing to rest your hat on right now is why would somebody leak this out to give a heads up to the media?
Right.
Give a heads up to the fan base. Hey, Celtics fans, you might lose your coach. What's the point? Like, make your move. Tell us why. Tell us what's up. It's just been really weird the last 24 hours.
Weird, man.
And then we'll find out if there's more to the story. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show here on this Thursday. Pretty big football game tonight in the National Football League in the AFC North. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to break down what I think we're going to be seeing tonight in Cleveland, Ohio. And there's a lot happening in the NFL going into week number 3. Lots of very crucial games. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated will join us in hour number 2 about that. Michael Kay, who is on Judge Watch for the YES Network. And then the day on Sunday where both the Mets, Yankees, Jets, and Giants won. One of the greatest days in New York sports recent memory. Michael Kay will be joining us on the program in hour number 3 on that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're off and running here on this busy, everybody's waiting to hear from the Celtics edition of the Rich Eisen Show. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled Jaialai. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. 6-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jaialai app in the App Store. This sport with its intensity and athleticism is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win 2 sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant, supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Well, not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs as well, helps you automate your manual business processes and see where to save your money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. It's netsuite.com/richpod. Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, we just talked to our Odyssey streaming and Roku channel streaming viewing audience that this show is now being followed by Labatt's Blue Light. There it is. And 54 others, by the way. We love it when you want to hit that follow button for at Rich Eisen Show.
Appreciate y'all. We're up to 110,000 now.
Mike Hoskins, who could care less what you jamokes say prior to the show, and he just sits on the couch
pretty much
to try and just be professional and have a conversation many times just with me while you guys talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about, like you're a cat playing with some with a ball.
What should we talk about?
Stuff about for the program in advance.
Yeah, that's what we talk about.
Brockman's like, oh, Labatt's tweeted at us. And you're like, and he got actually got Hoskins off the couch. So we're just telling the folks at Labatt's.
What up?
What up? secondly,
you know, we'll take a case.
This could be stop that. Stop that.
It never hurts to ask.
I'm just saying.
Secondly, you got your new slogan, Labatt's Blue Light, gets Hoskins off the couch.
Yeah, that's right. Put us in a commercial.
Normally, it puts people on the couch.
Right.
On the floor, on the bed.
Got him off the couch.
In the delivery room.
Like a true Buffalo Bill fan. What? Oh, what's that beer?
Through a table.
Very good. Tonight's game. Is pretty darn huge. And I'm not saying that just because I'm an NFL guy and I hawk the product. Look, Thursday Night Football. And Thursday Night Football is near and dear to my heart.
Of course. Used to be your jam.
Just to say this to everybody who are at Prime Video who is enjoying the partnership with the NFL already. What, 13 million folks streamed it last week? Apparently,
Amazon got 800,000 signups.
Okay,
like in the hour before the game.
There's a lot of boxes that are now arriving at doorsteps that normally haven't because they're all signed up. Oh, I get free delivery for that. Okay, great.
Hello.
So for everybody in Amazon and the Pacific Northwest. And the Amazon Prime Video community who is just loving this Thursday Night Football thing, I just have two words for you, and I know this might be very egotistical. You're welcome. Because it was my ass on a plane for, what, about 10 years going back and forth to Thursday Night Football games, growing the product, growing the whole idea, getting to see all those tweets of, like, this game sucks because it's on a Thursday. This game sucks because it's only 3 days in between Sunday and the game. You know, short week games, they suck. And I just kept on responding to him. I'm like, well, how come nobody ever complains about the short week on Thanksgiving week? Right? That's a short week.
Well, we're eating and drinking at like 9 a.m.
I understand there's other things going on, and you're served up Thursday football on that day, and you like it. How about Thursday football every week? How about that idea? How about that one?
And then
the Sunday game or the Monday game would stink, and I'd start tweeting at people like, you know, these long, regular rest week games, boy, do they stink. So I was out there slinging it. So I have a very, very, very vested interest in the success of Thursday Night Football. Otherwise, what the hell was I doing for a decade plus?
Collecting the check.
Dude, that was the NFL Network. I know I'm getting into the business of television business weeds. That was the growth of NFL Network was Thursday Night Football. Yeah. The number of times we were like, I can't see the game. I can't see the game because I don't have the NFL Network. It was because an NFL Network, I think, was putting Thursday Night Football games on in the towns where NFL Network wasn't on because, you know, you would get it for free in your town and it'd be like, this is what you're missing. Or the Cowboys were like raising their hands saying, we'll do it because Jerry Jones is a team player. And then when the Cowboys weren't on because you didn't have NFL Network, well, phones were ringing. Phones were ringing.
I thought we were irrelevant.
And I did a lot of lead-ins that were written by lawyers saying, you know, if check your local listings, and if you don't have NFL Network, you know, write your congressperson and all that business. And then one time the white smoke came out of 345 Park Avenue, and the before I went on in Carolina, which didn't have NFL Network, in Charlotte, they said that lead-in that was written by the lawyers, that's taken out. I'm like, does that mean we're fully distributed? Yes, it did. Boom.
Boom.
Now look at it.
Look what
you're welcome,
made.
Jeff Bezos. You're look welcome. What I made for it's you. All I'm saying. Okay. So I have a large place in my heart for Thursday Night Football. That said, all that, that's a huge ass preamble to talk about how huge this game is tonight. And I'm not just talking about how it'll be the first ever streamed huge ass elf in the middle of a field in the history of television.
Is the elf still going to be there? They lost to the Jets. 0-1 with the elf.
What do you think they're going to do? They're going to rip up the elf? They're going to cover the elf after just 4 days?
The worst loss in like 2,000 games.
Blame it on the defense not covering Corey Davis on a 66-yarder. No. Blame it on the special teams who didn't recover the onside kick. Blame it on the defense that then gave up a touchdown and let Joe Flacco march up and down the field. Don't blame it on the elf.
Nick Chubb for not sliding?
I can't believe, Nick Chubb even said I shouldn't have scored that last touchdown. Kevin Stefanski raised his hand and said I should have even gotten into the huddle, the head of my quarterback, to tell everybody going out on the field, don't score.
I shouldn't have had my kids on the sideline. But look, it's the elf's fault. Let's be honest.
I'm just saying it's crazy how I'm now defending the elf. But you're going to see it tonight. And it is a big football game. The AFC North. Whoever wins this game tonight will be the first to 2 wins and thus lead the Roost. What with the Ravens visiting New England and their quarterback having a padded sleeve on his throwing arm. And the Bengals facing that vaunted Jets defense that took care of business on top of the elf. So it is a pretty big football game tonight. And it is a short week game. And one thing to keep an eye on is what will the the Cleveland Browns do potentially on defense to rebound? What will they do to rebound in this game after taking it on the chin the way that they did? Everybody go take a look at that Corey Davis touchdown and see how nobody played defense on it.
Just wide open.
And we talked about it with Andrew Hawkins yesterday about how there was a team players only meeting on defense and how will they respond. And if their response is as prideful and stout as it needs to be, does that mean Mitchell Trubisky is going to be under pressure? And does that mean that this winds up being the last game Mitchell Trubisky starts as a Pittsburgh Steeler? Where does this question of Kenny Pickett versus Mitchell Trubisky, how does it play in the mind's eye of Mike Tomlin and the rest of that Steelers front office? Because that is the question. Because once this game is over, the Steelers have the old mini bye.
Yep.
That's the Thursday Night Football aspect of it. Again, when I was helping plant the flag of Thursday Night Football for a decade plus on NFL Network, when I was doing all that, and players, and I get it, they didn't like the short week. But what they did like is the mini bye afterwards, 10 days off. And the mini buy afterwards is exactly when you can install a new kid just in time for the Jets to come visit. Maybe with Zach Wilson returning, unless Broadway Joe Flacco keeps on posting the Buffalo performances. A tough row to hoe at Buffalo the following week, and then Tampa, and then at Miami. You got to go point for point with Tua on a Sunday night football game in South Florida, and then the Philadelphia Eagles.
Point for point with them.
It's a tough row to hoe, but why not just
throw him out there?
Throw him out there and see what he can do, especially if Trubisky is not performing in the manner in which an offense needs to perform to go point for point against teams like Buffalo, like Miami, like Philadelphia. And one would think Tampa's receiving core might be healthy enough to get Julio Jones or maybe Chris Godwin back out there with an unsuspended, serving his suspension, Mike Evans. That's what's playing out tonight. And the Browns defense can make that happen. The Browns defense can help place that lid on top of a boiling pot that, you know, Mike Tomlin might just laugh off and go, I don't care. Kid's not ready. I see it. I know it. We're not going to throw him out there against these guys. We'll wait for the bye week, the actual bye week, when we have a full 2 weeks in between games. And this will be part of the conversation that Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit will have tonight in Ohio. You know. And Jacoby Brissett played a very good football game against the Jets. They were up 30-17, this just in. They were up. And Chubb ran all over the lot.
Yep.
And there is no TJ Watt tonight. And the Steelers defense had another terrific performance against Mac Jones, but the Patriots made the plays. And the Steelers, after that remarkable week one win in Cincinnati, they could have the dreaded, whoever loses this game tonight has the dreaded 2 losses in 4 days. Where your season's great. Hey, you win week one. Great. Good for you. Off to a nice start. Well, now you wanted two. And all it took was about 90 hours for that to happen. That's what I love about these short week games. That's what I love about these early season contests, certainly between two teams that do not like each other. And if the Steelers win this one tonight, another thing to keep in mind, that makes them 2-0 in division, both games in Ohio. Check off 2 wins in division, and they're on the road. That means 3 of their final 4 division games are in Acrisure. I'm just being accurate. And the Browns, I'll tell you what, if they can come up with 2 of the first 3 being wins, that means they got 8 more to go without Deshaun Watson, unless he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing right now. And he comes back. That means you get 2 wins in those first 3 weeks. And then you visit Atlanta, home for the Chargers. Who hell knows about the viability of their quarterback over the next month long term? Versus New England, at Baltimore, Cincinnati, and then there's the bye. And the crazy thing, too, is you see Miami and all these team schedules, and now you can't look at them as, well, that's one of the lower half AFC East teams where we could pick off that win. You can't think that anymore.
Now you're like, well, we got to score 30 points to beat those guys.
In the fourth quarter. You need to score 30 points just to keep up with them in the fourth quarter. So that's my preview for tonight's game. Phone number to dial, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. And then, by the way, you know what's a week from tonight is Miami at Cincinnati.
Giddy up.
Yeah, man. Tua versus Joe Burrow. And in terms of Cincinnati, you know, they were number 2 on my list of top 5 most disappointing teams of 2022. Yeah, I did it on a Monday, man. I did it on a Monday after week 2 wasn't even over. There was a double dip that night. And Tennessee fans are, I guess, if you care about this, fortunate that I came up with the top 5 list before Tennessee laid that egg in Buffalo.
But we could see that coming.
But the Raiders were number one on my list, and the Raiders are what's next for Tennessee. Somebody's going to be 0-3. And the Bengals could be 0-3, too, because they're going to take on the Jets, and they are a total crapshoot right now. They're a total crapshoot. Let's see how they follow up that big, huge 90-second finale with two touchdowns and the comeback win in Cleveland. And Cincinnati, man, they can't protect Joe Burrow worth a lick still. And Joe Burrow, man, he didn't play a lick of football in training camp and preseason because his appendix burst on him. And he looks like a quarterback that needs to get his legs under him, not just because his legs are knocked out from under him by the pass rush, but, you know, maybe he just didn't have the training camp period that he needed. Joe Burrow has already taken measures to wall himself off. He's already in the foxhole, man. He's already in Zero Dark Bengal land right now.
Zero Dark Jungle.
This is what he said yesterday about blocking off all the noise. Mike?
So I've seen none of it. We're focused on what's going on in there. I'm sure it's not a very good reaction.
Let's roll it again one more time, please.
I think it'll be a different reaction.
Here we go. Let's rack it up one more time.
Well, what's great is I don't have Twitter or Instagram right now, so I've seen none of it. We're focused on what's going on in there. I'm sure it's not a very good reaction, but I think it'll be a different reaction as we get going here.
He's removed Twitter and Instagram from his phone.
We should all do that from time to time.
I agree with you, Joe.
What would I do when I'm trying to not pay attention to my children?
All right. Give me that best dad ever, son.
No one will ever take this away from me.
Is that his version of R-E-L-A-X?
No, I think he's just blocking out all the noise. Who is, and let me just, can I, well, I can. It's the show and I have the microphone
you
in front
have
of me.
Microphone.
Hey, who in the world is tweeting at Joe Burrow to say
like, hey,
that
suck.
It's his fault?
Yeah, right.
Why are you asking
are
that?
You
You've been on Twitter.
Kidding me? Kidding me? That it's somebody like who is at? What is it? Joey B? Is that what it
at
is?
At Joey B.
Is somebody adding at Joey B during a game? You stink. You suck. You know, and hitting that just for whoever who has actually hit send on that. And is creating an amount of criticism that's causing Joe Burrow to just say, you know, I just need to block out all the haters and the trolls. Let's just give you, for instance, just so you can understand what Joe's going through right now. Let's just say you want to tweet this out, okay? Let's just say you want to tweet this out and your finger is hovering over the send button. And just before you hit the send button, and you know it, you see it, you know where it is, you know exactly what you need to do, you know exactly what you want to do, but before you hit that button, some 6'5" individual, fully padded, hits you when you're not looking and causes you to not be able to complete the tweet. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Or you see it coming. You know it's coming, but you still want to send that tweet anyway. And before you can actually do it, it's happened so fast right in front of you. Somebody who's 6'7", 340 pounds, hits you. So that's my one would think reasoned approach to just back off this guy. Or maybe he's just taking that off because he's seeing Bengals suck, Bengals suck, Bengals suck, or me saying they're the most disappointing team or second most disappointing team. He just doesn't want all the negativity. So.
I'm sure his mentions are probably not very fun right now.
I don't understand it. But I also don't understand how, you know, how a team that made all these moves, it's taken them two games to try and get something going. to try and be more cohesive to protect the guy. I don't know. But they got the Jets, and then they've got the Dolphins. And then if they don't pull off the W in New York against the Jets, and they're 0-3 and the Dolphins are coming on a short week, look out. Another huge game in week number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Still to come is Albert Breer on the show. Don't miss also Michael Kay in hour number three. And then you have the opportunity, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial.
Come join TV's Ross Matthews every Thursday on his new podcast, Hello, Ross.
Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, and I am so excited to tell you about my brand new podcast, Hello, Ross.
You know, I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying it again to emphasize the name of my new podcast. It's Hello, Ross.
Look, you only have like 30 seconds to tell them about the new podcast, Hello, Ross. You have to tell them about the celebrity guests, the interesting people with cool stories to tell, and it's new every Thursday. Go ahead.
You never know who's going to pop by to say Hello, Ross. It could be an Oscar winner, the star of your favorite show, even my dental hygienist.
Really?
No, she's fascinating.
Okay. Anyone else?
One time I was at a dinner party and the lady across from me, turns out she was a dominatrix. Ooh, that's gonna hurt. I've been a naughty boy.
Huh. Are you going to ask?
We're gonna go there.
For reals?
And there.
For real reals?
You better stretch.
I better stretch? What the
heck? On our show, nothing's off limits. I'm gonna ask that question.
No.
And that question.
No.
And I'm gonna get away with it.
Oh boy.
So it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? Except think of it Mr. Matthews' Gaberhood. Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, that actually does sound fun.
And it's on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Wait, that's my line. Hello, Ross, available on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Okay, now you just repeated me.
We are so over our time limit.
Oh, that's a bummer.
When you become a member of Navy Federal Credit Union, life gets better. One big thing that gets better is buying a car. See, Navy Federal Credit created a fully loaded car buying experience where you can finance, buy, protect, and enjoy your auto purchase all from one convenient place. They offer great auto loan rates, too, and your pre-approval is good for 90 days, so you know what you can afford while you shop. You can even shop for new and used cars with Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar. Also, you can get exclusive member savings with Carfax, Sirius XM, and more. And because it's Navy Federal, they're always available with 24/7 member service representatives to answer any questions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/carbuying. That's NavyFederal.org/carbuying. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. So it's kind of like a serious first hour here on our program as we came on the air talking about the Boston Celtics coaching situation, Ime Udoka, and whether or not he's going to just be suspended at all by a team for a consensual relationship with a member of the organization, an extramarital affair, or he's going to resign. Or nothing at all. And, you know, the Celtics, the longer that they go without making an announcement, the more it's just like, why the hell did we hear about this in the first place? And without fully resolved situation being placed in front of everybody to be shocked by, to understand. I don't know. Because in this day and age, when you got your phone here, I mean, stories get bigger. Stories can be made worse. Rumors start to fly. I'm already seeing, you know, tweets from highly respected members of the NBA media community mentioning names of female executives in Boston in the Celtics organization saying sources are telling me it's not that person. As if, you know, because rumors are flying.
Yeah,
and the longer you let it sit out there without any resolution, it's kind of like, why do we know this in the first place? And rightfully so, I have been seeing people saying, why wasn't Brett Favre's texts in terms of the scandal that he's involved with in the state of Mississippi being talked about nearly as much as the coach of the Celtics in the last 24 hours? Because we don't know what he's been involved with, but we certainly know something's up with Favre. And, you know, Favre is a friend and a friend of this program, but I always shoot folks straight here if I think even a friend has strolled astray of propriety or
the law. And it's been about a week since texts leaked of Brett Favre talking about $5 million being spent and federally funded welfare funds meant for the most vulnerable folks in Mississippi to help them make ends meet, to live life, put food on their table. That money was being funneled to Favre's alma mater for a volleyball stadium. And a text exchange where Favre certainly sounds like he knows what he's doing is improper. Wants to make sure that would the media find out where the money's coming from, which anybody who's doing something proper doesn't really hit send on that text. But he hasn't been indicted for anything. He hasn't been arrested for anything. Nothing's happened on the legal front for Favre, but that shoe might just be about to drop too. This tweet just moments ago from Kyle Griffin of NBC News. John Davis, who was Mississippi welfare director during the distribution of federal welfare funds to Brett Favre and other prominent residents, is set to plead guilty this morning in federal court, according to a newly unsealed court document. So if there was anything illegal about this on the part of Brett Favre, one would think the individual is about to plead guilty on this front might be doing some talking. And we'll find out. Because this is ugly. And this is definitely worthy of attention. And we are going to find out what is going on in the state of Mississippi involving one of the more treasured athletes to come out of that state, exported to the state of Wisconsin and residing in Canton, Ohio. I am eager to find out more. Let's put it that way. Welfare funds. That's it. Welfare funds for a volleyball stadium.
And that's one of the poorest states in the country, right?
The poorest of the poor and one of the poorest states of the country for a volleyball stadium. Come on. Like, we can't get one of the millions of sponsors
right
to front that money. We got to go.
Favre himself couldn't scratch
it,
a check.
Snake it out of welfare funds. Is that really what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, and again, anything illegal. Something clearly must be illegal if somebody who's in charge of those funds just about to plead guilty to it. And one would think if he's first to the courthouse to say, I'm guilty.
Let's make a deal.
Well, who else is there?
Yeah.
These PPP loans, I think a lot of stuff's going to come out, obviously.
Well, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just another thing to keep an eye on. Nick in South Carolina, you're here on the program on the Roku channel, Odyssey, and more. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Rich. How are you, buddy?
What's going on?
Man, I want to say something about your reaction to the Dolphins' fourth quarter this past Monday.
Yes, sir.
And it was such a obviously a treat. Been a Dolphins fan all my life. I was born in Miami, but I also got to say it's really a pleasure to get a chance to speak with you and your team again, man. The last time I was able to talk to you was, I think it was either 2016 or 2017.
Where you been, Nick? Where have you been, sir?
Somebody on your team was all in on Christian Hackenberg. And I called and started a little ish, you know.
No, no.
I think, but...
I know.
That was the previous regime.
A minute, man.
Well, Nick... welcome back. It's been a while, and the Dolphins are crushing it. And thanks for the call, Nick. I greatly appreciate it. Call back within the next 5 years, please. Andrew Hawkins telling the story, man, on this program yesterday, awesome, of his position coach in Cleveland in 2014 and how that position coach was teaching the position in a way that he had never been taught the position before anywhere at any level of football, and how it opened up his mind and opened up his ability to get off the line in a way that he had never been able to get off the line before. him telling that story about his position coach went wild in South Florida yesterday. Why? Because that position coach was Mike McDaniel. And everybody's got to seek that out on our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show right now, because, or our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, because it is a fascinating glimpse into the X's and O's world in a way that you don't normally hear. You don't normally hear it. And Dolphins fans just flocked to it.
They love it. QAnon, Rich. It's real.
It's QAnon.
QAnon.
Yes, that's
also
real.
Oh, I got wrapped
real.
Up.
Yeah, I know.
One's real, one's
I know.
Real.
Well, no, I think they're both real. QAnon right now, man, what he's doing with McDaniel, and you take a look at the Dolphins schedule if we can. They are going to be in the midst of some, if they bring to the table what they brought to the table in the fourth quarter in Baltimore, these are going to be some wild affairs. Two of them against Buffalo, including one this very weekend. And then Green Bay is on their schedule. You've got a bunch of winnable games for them, too. If they can come up with the W in week number three, if they can stop the freight train that emerged out of the tunnel at SoFi Stadium 2 weeks ago tonight and then steamrolled last year's top seed Tennessee Titans on Monday night, if they can not only stop that freight train, but also send it back to the depot, then whatever we were talking about the Dolphins coming out of that week four win in Baltimore, and whatever Andrew Hawkins was telling stories about on yesterday's program that sent Miami Dolphins fans to the retweet button and the like button, and we appreciate that. This is going to be off the charts. The entire country will have their lapels snapped back and go, okay. In the same way that I said on Monday, coming off of that Sunday performance in Baltimore, that the Dolphins have potentially reshuffled the deck, in which it's the Bills conference to lose and the Chiefs are the only team that can go point for point with them and maybe knock them off. And the Dolphins can basically raise their hand and snap everybody's lapels back and make a statement in a big way.
If they beat Buffalo, how many of those late season games are going to get flexed into Sunday Night Football? Like, if you look at their schedule, you could make a case for 10-0 going into the bye week if they beat the Bills this week.
What gets flexed? Well, I mean,
at San Francisco, that gets flexed. At LAC gets flexed.
Well, maybe. You have to see what those other two teams do, but yeah, New Year's Day.
Green Bay on Christmas? Or is that a Sunday?
Well, that Buffalo game, you know, it's, you see, December 17th or 18th. You know, that's the one. There's going to be a triple header on that Saturday, and games that have big-time playoff implications get moved to that Saturday triple header.
Yep.
That's right before the most wonderful time of the year jingle on ESPN before bowl season hits. And the NFL fills that void. Dolphins have a big opportunity coming up this Sunday. That is for damn sure. Albert Breer coming up in hour number two. And more of your calls at 844-204-RICH.
And because now the Dolphins haven't normally had a lot of fantasy guys, too. Suddenly now they're a team you want to see on Red Zone. I got to know what's happening because I have Tyreek, I have Jalen Waddle. Maybe you have
Gesicki.
Chase Edmonds, Gesicki, Mostert, people just picked up this week.
Or the new Juszczyk, Alec Ingold.
Like, suddenly they're now a hot red zone fantasy team.
McDaniels brought, Alec Ingold, who a lot of people know, certainly from the Raiders and other teams, he's turning him into his own little Kyle Juszczyk. He's sending fullbacks, you know, on wheel routes and stuff.
He's not a fantasy guy, though.
No, but the other guys are.
The other guys are, for sure.
You never know.
Man, the Dolphins are good
now. Stupid leagues.
My baseball team sucks. My coach is resigning in basketball.
Is he really? Is he doing that?
I don't know.
I mean, that's
kind of
the
rumors.
Rumors are all over the map, and that's the thing that kind of stinks, too. I mean, the Celtics, you got to, you know, come on now. This thing's been lingering out there now for at least 12 hours.
Yeah.
With us wondering what the hell's going on. And I know you want to get it right instead of being first and fast, but it's out there. And now there are rumors flying, and there's people's jobs at stake and people's reputations
lives
out there. I know.
Yeah,
All right. So hour number two coming up. Albert Breer will join us from Sports Illustrated. There are some great week three matchups that we haven't even hit. Tonight's Steelers and Browns game going on. Michael Kay of the Yes Network will be joining us in hour number three of this program as Aaron Judge goes for 61 tonight against Michael Wacha and the Red Sox. Michael Kay in hour three.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.